Well, we are going to begin a new series of studies in the scriptures. And our focus this time round will be on the subject of evangelism. And it's something that sometimes we take for granted. You know, we think that we perhaps cannot become evangelists. We don't know how to share our faith. And we just come up with all kinds of reasons and excuses. And so we end up convincing ourselves it's not for us. And we end up becoming a self-fulfilling prophet. And this is my challenge to all of us as we begin a study of how to understand and to practice evangelism. And it's my firm belief that all of us can and we should share our faith with anybody, everybody. The question is to learn the skills of learning how to share our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we begin our study by looking at the calling of the first disciples. Well, the story of the Lord's calling of the disciples is actually found in the Synoptic Gospels, in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke. They all tell the same story of how the Lord Jesus Christ called them. But there was some additional material in Luke 5 that talk about how the Lord Jesus Christ called them, the circumstances in which the Lord called them. And it had to do with a miraculous catch of fish that convinced Peter that the Lord Jesus Christ was truly the Lord, and he was sinful, and he was not worthy. Nevertheless, the Lord called him. Well, let's take a look at this text all over again and look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said to them. In Matthew 4, in Mark 1, we see this very clearly. The Lord said, "Follow me." And we have heard that many times before. And he went on further to say, "I will make you fishers of men." In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, we read the Lord saying, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Now, as we take a look at these words, we always have to begin with asking ourselves, how do we define evangelism anyway? What is it? And it is a basic question, but an important one. And we need to find answers to this question. Well, many different people have come up with different suggestions as to what this means. A basic idea is, we are sharing our faith. Another idea is to help people to find faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A third definition is a winning of a soul. Well, we have different ideas and different expressions, and they are useful working definitions that we're going to study a little bit more about how we can make this become real. To me, that's far more important than trying to define it. The Lord Jesus Christ said it this way, that you will become a fisher of men. In the language of Luke 5 and verse 10, you will from here onwards be catching men. Now, what does that mean? I think this is important for us to understand. Well, we have to go down to pretty basic questions, basic issues. And the issue is that of whose responsibility is evangelism anyway? Some people think that it is the work of a pastor. Other people think it is the work of a gifted evangelist, or perhaps even a Sunday school teacher. But We don't like to think that we are responsible. But the reality is, that's true. Every believer was meant to be a light to the world, was meant to be salt, and we have to do our part. And this is important for us to understand. The sharing of our faith should be seen rather as the most natural thing you want to do. Helping anybody is something that we would do automatically. We see somebody fall down, we want to reach out a hand to help that person. We see an accident, the least we can do is call the ambulance. You know, we just want to be there. Maybe we can't help in every possible way, but we want to be there to be helpful. Well, that's what evangelism is all about. We see somebody struggling with life. We see someone struggling with sin. We see somebody struggling with faith. Some people have doubts in their life. What do we want to do? And our natural desire should be, let me help you. And it is a good thing to consider. Seriously. More than good, it is important. Perhaps even more than just important, it is necessary. And if we learn how to become an evangelist, as it were, one who shares his faith, it is a very wise thing to do. And so we establish the case that all of us who have found the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we ought to share that faith with somebody else. As much as we have found joy in believing in the Lord, why do we want to deprive anybody of getting that same joy and salvation of the soul as we have received? Well, this is a good question. And so now the challenge is, how do we become an evangelist? How do we share our faith? And I do not want to recommend the idea of, okay, now read this book, attend some courses, and now, hey, presto, you are an evangelist. Well, it's not really as cut and dried as we think. I like what the Lord Jesus Christ said, and he simply said, follow me. If we ever want to learn how to become a soul winner, to be evangelist, and if the Lord Jesus Christ says, follow me, I would just jump at the chance of following the Lord, observing what he did, how he did things, and then try for myself to see whether I can have very similar results. Follow me tells us we can learn. In fact, we must learn. We want to learn well. So I study the Lord Jesus Christ very carefully, and I want to see how he did it. And there are many lessons to learn along the way, and we can learn the following lessons. We can learn from books, of course. We can learn from the example of how people come to faith in the Lord. It's always good to learn along the way. We can learn from our own personal efforts. We review and then we think about how we can improve better. There are many ways we can learn, and learn we must. But to me, learning from the Lord Jesus Christ is the very, very best. There is no one better, no one greater as an evangelist than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we can speak of D.L. Moody and how many people he has led to the Lord, or Billy Sunday, or anybody else in the past who become wonderful, stirring examples for us. But very frankly, I really like the Lord Jesus Christ far better in his approach. He was not what we call a mass evangelist in that sense. You know, he doesn't have a singing team. He doesn't have organizers. He doesn't have all kinds of fancy ways of sort of preparing the ground for the evangelist to come and speak. What the Lord Jesus Christ did to me is just absolutely wonderful. I see him as a master evangelist. I learn from his heart. I learn from his spirit. I learned about what made him do what he did. Well, the challenging thing to do, to remember, is that he taught a group of people who were just humble fishermen. They were suddenly not evangelists of any kind. In fact, you really wonder why the Lord even chose them. But the fact that he did gives me a sense of hope. Maybe I can become an evangelist too. So what's our challenge? to observe, a desire to learn, and then to put into practice what we learn along the way. So what's the first lesson? The first lesson must be the message of the evangelist. Sometimes we are in such a fired hurry, and all we want to do is to, would you like to go to heaven? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, say the sinner's prayer, and hey presto, we pronounce somebody saved. Well, that's not how the Lord Jesus Christ did it. And I just want to help us to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has a message from God Himself to give to anybody. And it is not pronouncing somebody saved that results in real salvation. There are lots of people who have been involved in saying that I do. I remember years and years ago when I was involved in this what we call mass evangelism thing. And I was asked to be one of the people who they called a counselor checker. So here comes a person, he says he signed on the in a card that he has believed. So I sit down with the person and I say to the person, now tell me what you believe in. And he has no idea what he was doing. And he says, they asked me to put my name in, I sign, that's it. Well, what do you know about the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't know anything. But they asked me to sign, and I'm told I'm a Christian because I sign and I believe, and you know what? That's it, I'm saved. Well, that's not how the Lord Jesus Christ did it. The challenge is to ask ourselves, what is that message from the Lord that must be noted? And I like the way the Lord Jesus Christ told the people about a message. It is always in the scriptures. It is a message that is relevant. It is a message that is well communicated. It is a message that must help a person to understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is, what He came to do, how He can save before we can speak about real faith and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is that message? Unfortunately, in today's instant community, we are getting into instant salvation idea. And I think that we missed the point. And I would like us to return to the scriptures and look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said and did. So in Matthew 4:17, we read, His word was, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mark added, Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled. And then he also said the same thing, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent. Mark added, Mark 1:15, believe in the gospel. So if we want to learn how to become an evangelist, the first thing we need to do is to understand biblical terminology. Instead of telling people that they have said a sinner's prayer, therefore they are saved, well, let's look at how the Lord Jesus Christ helped people to come to salvation. And it is absolutely important, right? Now, let's take a look. The first and foremost, we need to understand the idea of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are actually the same. It's a question of where the focus really is. If we want to speak about God, we can say kingdom of God. If we want to talk about heaven as opposed to earth, then we speak about the kingdom of heaven. But both must help us to come back to God. Right? Now, this is absolutely important. So when we present the gospel to anybody, we speak of God. Not as an opinion, not as a notion, not as a concept, not as a doctrine alone, but we want to present Him as a wonderful, personal God who is also King, and He has a kingdom. And this King has a message for the world. And it is an invitation to enter, to become part of his kingdom. Now, this is absolutely important. See, to many people today, heaven is not real. God is not real. And so we end up with a gospel that caters to man's emotional needs, a man's desire to have a sense of well-being. Now, these are not wrong in themselves, but sometimes I fear very much that we have unfortunately not presented the gospel in its fullness. There are certain essentials that we must present, and that is to speak of God and his kingdom. And it is vital that we want to make the idea of God and the kingdom very real. How can we make it real? So we want to tell people the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, it's close by. It's reachable. It is there within reach and it is real. It can be understood. And this kingdom is open to anyone who desires to consider stepping into that kingdom. What a wonderful invitation it is from God to everybody in the world that we can be part of his kingdom. And this is important. Why is it important? It has to do with all eternity. And of course, believing in the Lord will lead to great blessings. But here is the catch. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks of repentance. And this is a kind of unfortunate today because we sort of put it aside. We almost brush it aside as just say to the Lord, you're sorry. Repentance is more than just saying, I'm sorry. Right? So what does repentance really, really mean? Well, it begins with this. One, I realize to my horror, I am a sinner. That was how Peter felt. When he realized who the Lord Jesus Christ is, when he caught a great catch of fish, he realized that he was standing in the presence of a great person, the Lord himself. He suddenly felt sinful. That is where repentance starts, where we feel that we are sinful. We realize we are sinful. This realization leads us to a sense of conviction. I am a sinner. I have sinned. And that is a feeling of remorse. There is a feeling of regret. But that's not all that we need to understand about this idea of repentance. Repentance must cause us to turn away from sin. So if I speak of saying the sinner's prayer, but I don't really understand my sin, I don't regret my sin, I don't repent from my sin, what is the point of saying words in themselves? Frankly, not a whole lot. There must come within us a desire to seek forgiveness, where we tell the Lord, you know, this is my sinful life, I recognize my many, many sins, and I am helpless, and I am hopeless, and I am caught, and I can't get out. Well, I need to tell you that I am truly sorry for my sins, and please forgive me so that I can find a new life. So if I don't understand what repentance really is, well, then we have not really repented. You see, saying a sinner's prayer in itself, it's almost like the new way of believing. But unfortunately, there is very little understanding of sin. There is even less understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is hardly any understanding of the kingdom of heaven and God. And hey presto, the person is pronounced a believer. Unfortunately, there are people who like to think that they are really saved. See, our desire is to see people declared saved. And we are almost literally sucked into this idea and we just want to believe that the person is saved. And yet, this was not the Lord's way. So if we want to share a gospel, the gospel with anybody, now it may take a little longer because a person would struggle with understanding of sin, person may be struggling with the problem of repentance, struggling with who God is, struggling with the kingdom of God. And we don't like to see the struggle. We just want to quickly clinch the deal, as it were. And we tell the person, just say the sinner's prayer and God will just save you. You know, we have no right to do that. This is wrong for the person who hears. The person may think that he is saved when he may not be saved. To me, that is a tragedy. And we don't want to do it that way. So how do we help a person to come to faith in the Lord? And I think this is important for us to understand. You see, for a person who has been living for a number of years, it could be a teenager, it could be a young adult, it could be an older adult. Now, please remember, this person has been living without any thought of God, without any consciousness of sin for the longest time. Please do not imagine that just because you share the gospel in 5 minutes, that 5 minutes will just turn his 20, 30 years of life around and hey, presto, he is a Christian. That's not how it works. See, God doesn't manufacture Christians. There isn't a factory where you put a pelt, go in, go on the conveyor belt, and then out here comes a newly minted believer. It doesn't work like that. Now, this is important, right? So some of the problems that we will encounter when we try and share the gospel. One, very few people know how to place God in their life. See, we live in a world of so many problems that people put all the blame on God. If there is a God, people would say, well, why can't he solve all the problems? Why can't life be easier? Why can't earth be a paradise? And so the idea is, if God is there at all, there shouldn't be mishaps, there shouldn't be accidents, there shouldn't be disasters, there shouldn't be sin problems, there shouldn't be anything if God exists. And many people struggle with the place of God in their life. And this tells us they don't know very much about life, they don't know very much about God, and they have absolutely no idea what faith in God is all about. All they want is for a magic wand to be waved around some people's lives, and hey presto, everything is now absolutely good. We are now living in a dream, as it were. This is not how it works. So when we help people to understand what salvation is, we have to struggle with the fact that many have trouble with understanding the place of God, who God is in life. Evangelism will take patience, it will take perseverance, and it's not going to be something that can be done easily. Now, that's the first problem. Here is another problem. Another problem is that people don't really understand sin a whole lot. When people think of sin, they think in terms of robbery, or things of high crime, or think of murder. And people say, well, you know what? I'm not such a bad person. You see, I don't murder people. I don't steal from people. I'm a pretty good person. And people do not understand the nature of sin. And that is where a lot of people get caught. So when we talk to them about how God sees sin, and God sees sin in the heart, God sees sin in the intents of the heart, God sees sin in its inception, and many people cannot understand this. And because they struggle with this, there is very little understanding of what it means to understand the word called repentance. But that is exactly what evangelism is. We have to know the terms properly first. So how do we tell a person that there is a sin problem? You cannot beat the person on the head and tell the person to repent because it doesn't work. That's not how it is done. Well, that's another problem we have to grapple with. The awareness of what sin really is in the sight of God is not there at all. So the Apostle Paul had to say this, that everyone has sinned. Everyone has sinned, and we have all sinned. And you know what? We all come short of the glory of God. See, God's idea of sinlessness is that we are, in every sense, we are good before God, and we have to admit that we are not all that great if we were to be examined in the sight of God's righteousness. Well, we don't understand that. And so many struggle with the problem of sin in life. Then we have another problem still. It's our perception of what life is all about on earth. And all we want is, we call a good life. We want to do well in school. And then after that, we want to have a good job. We want to have a happy life. We want to, you know, have whatever it is that matters to everybody. A comfortable life, and then we live until a ripe old age, and that is what life is all about. So when we talk about God, we talk about spiritual matters, we talk about sin, we talk about God's kingdom, you know, very frankly, very few people are even remotely interested. And because of this problem that is there, that's why evangelism is so hard today. Because we are so secular-minded, we have become so worldly attuned that when we speak about God today, it's almost as if there is no place, no relevance, no pertinence of speaking about God in life. And these are our struggles today. And yet, these struggles are not actually new to the scriptures at all in any way. Here is a group of fishermen, and they were doing their part. They were serving with their parents. They were helping the family business. For all wants and purposes, they are living a pretty good life. On a Saturday, they go to the synagogue. They are fairly religious people, and it looks good. What more do you want? And yet the Lord came to them and he said, follow me. The moment they saw the way the Lord Jesus Christ lived, the moment they heard his teachings, the more he talked about God and his kingdom, something stirred within their hearts. They began to realize that life is much more than just having a good job. Life is much more than just living a pretty good life. And they began to realize that there is another dimension of life called the spiritual. There is another dimension of life called the eternal. There's another dimension of life that includes God and his kingdom. And their hearts were stirred, their minds were piqued, and they began to realize that this is what they want to discover for themselves. And how would they go about it? They followed the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, deep down inside their heart, they knew there must be something more to life than just working and making a living. There's more to life than just having a family and living until we die at a ripe old age. There was something more, but they could not put their finger at what that thing was until the Lord Jesus Christ came. And then he said to them, you know, God has a kingdom, and you can be a part of that kingdom. And suddenly, inside their heart, they wanted to know this God better. They wanted to be part of that kingdom a little bit more. They wanted to follow the person who suddenly made faith, religion, in faith in God so real, so personal, so wonderful, they were just so drawn to following the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's what we want to learn. So before we talk about sharing our faith with other people, we have to ask ourselves, what do we know about God? Seriously, do we understand how to appreciate that we are invited into the kingdom of God, and in fact, we are citizens of heaven? We have to think about these things here for ourselves. Well, for myself personally, I began to understand what it means to be a person who belongs to the kingdom of God. We all understand earthly citizenship. We all understand what it means to be citizens of Singapore. And we have rights and privileges that come with the idea of being a citizen of our country. And we thank God that we have a good government and we are well looked after, and we cannot but be grateful and thankful. But how does that apply when we talk about the kingdom of God? Even more, we have God as our king. We have God watching over us. We have God giving us his word, his promise, his protection, his provision, and much more. Well, I want to know more about this God in the first place. And I want to be there to help other people know more about this God. But we cannot share beyond what we know. And the more we know about this God, the more effective we can become in helping people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So our first challenge is to learn. To learn the right biblical terms, to understand biblical language effectively. So there you will come across books about evangelism, where they will talk about a sinner's prayer, how you all you did is 5 minutes. Well, that's not how the Lord Jesus Christ did it. He knew the struggles of the soul. He knew the struggles of the heart. He knew the worries of life. And he addressed each one. There were those who were sick, he helped them. There were those who were brokenhearted, he healed them. There were those who were lost, he found them. There were those who were having struggles with their lives because of demonic powers. He cast out the powers of the evil one. And everyone had wanted one particular goal. He wanted them to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But everyone has the same path to walk on. We need to repent. We need to believe in the gospel. We need to enter into the kingdom of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is something that we must learn. So sometimes when we want to present the gospel and we offer a very truncated gospel or we have a watered-down gospel, we are not sharing our faith. We could be harming the person who is hearing, because the person will think, well, I already heard the gospel. I already know about this gospel. And you know what? I'm not impressed. Well, then we are harming the cause of God. Let's learn properly what it means to be an evangelist, what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Let's check our own salvation. And then as we understand our salvation a little bit more, inside our hearts there must come a conviction, a desire that I want to share this faith with another person. That person could be a family member, this person could be a dear friend, or this person could even be a stranger. But a conviction is inside our hearts, and we just cannot but desire to speak of a wonderful Savior, a wonderful Lord and Master, who has got things to teach, wisdom to share, every blessing to give. And so we are deeply motivated to share our gospel with our hearts. And this is our challenge. You know, the best person to be that evangelist is you. We can't reach your parents. You can. We cannot reach your family members, your uncles, your aunties. We have no access to them. You have that access. And the best person who can speak about your faith in the gospel, in the Lord Jesus Christ, is you. If you understand what it means to be saved, if you understand what it means to be part of the kingdom of God, and if there is a conviction inside your heart, then the sharing of the gospel ought to be the most natural desire in your heart. And that is where the heart of evangelism really is. It is in the heart of a person who is truly saved. Saved from sin, saved from self, saved from the world, saved from Satan. And understanding what it means to be saved, you have a Savior, you have a teacher, you have a Lord, you have a Master, you have a King. We are in the kingdom of light, in the language of the Apostle Paul. We are in the kingdom of God, as the Lord Jesus Christ says it. And the difference between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, is a world of difference. And our desire must be that we want to share this gospel naturally. But of course, it is not easy. So we must learn how to use the Word of God, how to understand what it means to share the gospel. Let's learn these lessons well. And then let's try to share that gospel with somebody. And I wish all of us the Lord's blessings so that we can all learn what it means to be a witness for the Lord, to become an evangelist for the Lord. There are few things greater in joy than to be able to point somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Blessed are you when you become that person who leads someone to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May you be that evangelist. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to desire to follow, to understand what it means to speak of our own salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ by way of testimony, by way of witness. Help us to be concerned for our family members, our parents, uncles, aunties, cousins, brothers, sisters. Help us to desire that they too might come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for a world that is just dying, a world that is so caught up with sin and self. Help us to desire to share our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ with all and sundry. We pray for that grace and mercy to learn lessons that will help us become more effective in the sharing of the Word of God with people. Help us to do it the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, giving thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.